You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Thursday, everybody. It's the Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Scott Engel, and Chris Meaney. We continue to get you ready for fantasy baseball drafts. A lot of fantasy baseball talk today, including some more mid to late round pitchers, some news from spring, and what it means, if it means anything at all. And the NFL has a new catch rule, Scott. They're trying to fix things, finally, although I don't think they did.
Yeah, you look at the way it's laid out on Twitter, though. It's still kind of confusing. Like, one of them...
Hold on. Don't jump. Hold on a second. I'm going to lay it out for everybody. I was just kind of like giving you a quick, brief intro. That's all.
That's not the way you made it sound, but yes. Good morning.
Chris?
I love it. Scott, you're still alive? You didn't get snowed in?
Yeah, I work from home, and you know, the fridge was stocked and everything. You know, we had anywhere between 8 to 19 inches, depending on where you were. Here in Queens, I think it was about a foot.
Wow,
that's a big range.
Yeah,
Jake, what would you do with a foot of snow?
We had a foot of snow, and the city shut down for 5 days.
He would probably build a stormtrooper.
Yeah, but a second storm though, like.
No, we just shut down for five days.
Yeah, I mean, you might even be 10 days.
No, it was 5 days. Thank you very much. That's good enough. That's plenty.
It is plenty.
That's more than most normal cities can handle because we don't ice the roads. We don't have anything to put down on the roads, and there's no plows anywhere. So, yeah, that's why it ends up being shut down for 5 days. It's because nobody can still get anywhere because the snow is all sitting there. We have to wait for the snow to actually melt. I couldn't even get out of my neighborhood for 4 days. I had to take an Uber to my parents' house because I lost power.
It's rough. Dedication, though. It was a good show.
It was a good show. But, yeah, I wasn't going to sit my – I thought I would power through it. I was like, you know what? I got plenty of layers and clothes. I'll just sit in the house and watch stuff on my phone, like Netflix or something. It got 50 degrees in the house. I'm like, yeah, when you're not moving around and it's 50 degrees in your house, it's actually pretty damn cold. So I Ubered and got the hell out of there. But in any case – all right, Scott, yeah. So what we were going to get to, let me read it for everybody that doesn't know. The NFL has already said weeks ago that they were going to change the catch rule. And the proposed, like the language so far, like this isn't the final say. They're still supposed to be voting on it. They're supposed to still be working on it. But what's proposed so far was tweeted by Al River Ron? I don't even know how to say his last name because I've never seen that before. It's like River Ron, but without the second R. But in any case... says the competition committee recommendations on the catch rule. Number one, control. Okay, no problem there.
Control.
Number two, 2 feet down or another body part. That's even better, in my opinion. Number three is where it kind of gets a little bit messy. A football move, so we're still including that. That hasn't gone anywhere. Such as, number one is a third step. Okay. Number two is reaching or extending for the line to gain. Okay. Number three, or the ability to perform such an act. What? Like,
how do you interpret that?
The guy on
the bench has the ability to do that.
Well, that's the same. Go back to number one, Scott. They still haven't defined what's control.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's still wide open for the Dez Bryant situation, Scott.
Don't get me started on the whole Dez Bryant thing. I have a unique perspective on that.
Well, that's fine, but let's just talk about the fact that you start with number one, control is still super vague, and as you just said, anybody on the field at any given time, really number three, the ability to perform, you actually technically, all of us doing the show right now have the ability to perform such an act.
Not really, you know, with the way my back is at this point, I can't even hit anymore, so, you know. All that's gone by the board, but I know what you're talking about in concept, but they haven't clarified anything. It's still very vague, especially the ability to do it. Anybody on the field has the ability to do it. If you have the ball, you have the ability to do it.
Yeah, that was
it's still confusing as hell.
My first initial response was, well, first of all, control, fine. I also have a question about what control means, too, because, you know, I saw bits and pieces last year. You know, go to the Super Bowl and the Clement catch, I didn't think that that was complete control. The ball moved a little bit. So are they going to allow the ball moving just a little bit? Fine. It has to be consistent. And then what you guys are just talking about, number three, is just out to lunch. Like, what the hell does the ability to perform such an act even mean? So,
no, it's not out to lunch. Lunch is clarified.
I guess it is. Yeah, a little bit more clarified than this. So
yeah.
They're at least they're working on it. They understand it's an issue. But, yeah, they still have a long way to go.
Yeah, that's. I think what they're missing, the point is, Scott, is that we're not complaining about it being too specific. Like, we want the specificity. We want them to say a third body part includes an elbow, a forearm, and, like, it's not the specific parts that we want or don't like. It's that it's so vague that there's all these interpretations, and that's what caused the problems. We want specific. Stop trying to be vague.
Yeah, it's, we want everything. The problem up to now is it hasn't been specific. It's like, okay, right. You know, okay, everybody, we'll just make it more vague or yeah. Equally vague.
And it's just making it worse. So, like, that's the point. Like, so control. Well, you know, that should be defined because now if you're on the field, you're going to have more situations. Honestly, I think this is a step back. Like, adding in that whole the ability to perform such an act, like if this was actually if this is what they finally decide on going to next season, Chris, I think we're going to even have it a worse situation where all the referees are standing there and you get one game it's a catch, the next game you see the exact same thing and it's not a catch.
That's what I mean. Like last year, there was a lot of that. I don't know where you guys stand, but I thought the Jesse James, I thought that was a touchdown. I thought that the Ertz one was, and the. Again, in the Super Bowl, and Corey Clement, I didn't think that was. Like, the ball moved around, and I've seen it not get called a touchdown before when the ball slightly moves. So there has to be some consistency. That, I think, has to be in the rule as well. Like, if the ball's going to move just a little bit, because a lot of the players have spoken up, and they wanted to be, like, old school. Like, if you catch the ball on the sidelines, and it moves just a little bit on your way down out of bounds, it's still a catch. You caught the ball. Used to be a catch back in the day.
Like let's Calvin make Benjamin it a catch. One?
Yeah, like the Benjamin one is a great example. That's another one. Like that. Like, tell me that wasn't a touchdown. I watched that.
The Calvin Johnson
times.
One against the Bears.
The Calvin Johnson one is where this all started. But, I mean, a lot of people spoke out. A lot of players, even defensive players in that football game, spoke out and said, I thought that was a touchdown, the Calvin Benjamin one, and it should have been. So it's still a gray area. It's still going to be a gray area, and it's going to be confusing.
See, I understand to this, like, I understand why they're trying to include the football move part of it because they basically don't want, you know, number one and number two would be you catch the ball, you get 2 feet down, immediately blasted by a defender, and you drop it. You know, that's a fumble every single time. So I understand that they're trying to include three for that reason. Otherwise, fumbles will start going exceptionally high next year. But at the same time, then just get more specific with it. Like, stop leaving it so far open to interpretation. Like, perform such an act. Just take that out of there. Reaching, extending for the line to get – actually reaching or extending for anything because if they're reaching, extending, trying to get out of bounds, that's not the line to gain. So you could just leave that. The third step, that's fine. But, like, those two were fine. You didn't need the third one or the ability to perform such an act. Like,
because it just confuses us even more.
Right.
Yeah.
And then define to us what control is. Control is control. The ball can't move at all. Is the control within your grasp as long as it's not touching the ground? Because to your point, Chris, I think that coupled with the 2 feet down should be kind of a combination thing and more specific. Like, you know, is the ball moving around before you get 2 feet down and then you get 2 feet down? All right, it's a catch. If the ball, you got 2 feet down and you're still juggling it, it's not a catch. Like, just clarify it for us. But there we go. We're probably going to
be confused all year again. Yeah. All year we're going to be talking about the same thing.
Yeah. It's just – it's annoying. Because we ask them to fix it. They say they want to fix it, and then they just go down the same road again. It's like, hey, I got a flat tire on my car. All right, well, we gave you this tire that has no treads on it. There you go. You're welcome. Like, that's just – you're not doing anything for us. All right. Let's – so you know what we never talked about, Scott? We never talked about Tout Wars. Never talked about your team or my team or the drafts as a whole in general. So you were in the mixed auction. I was in the mixed head-to-head auction, which was points for everybody out there. You know what? Before we run through your team as some of your actual purchases, what was the one thing that you – like, what was the takeaway that you noticed from the draft?
What was the takeaway that I noticed from the draft? I don't think it was a – I think there was monster inflation last year in a lot of the top guys. I think maybe it was a little bit lesser this year.
As in the high-end stars, you mean?
Yeah, the high-end stars.
Was it just hitting or pitching as well? Because I'm looking right now, to your point. So you see Kershaw, Scherzer, and Sale were the only three starters to go for 40-plus. And then, yeah, there's no hitters. Only, oh, Mike Trout. Mike Trout was the only one that topped 50. Oh, he went only 56, though. Good grief. Bryce Harper was 43. Betts
yeah, but then
was 44.
Jeff Zimmerman didn't hardly spend any money the rest of the way.
That's what happens. He spent so much right off the
Zimmerman's a defending champ, and like his MO was to always like wait for bargains, and that's the only time he veered in a different direction.
Well, that's because he had his foldable whiteboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris.
Whatever it takes.
He actually had like he busted out like which you would see like a play chart for a coach on the sideline. Like it was about like a 6x8 or no, like foot wise it was probably like 3x4. Foldable whiteboard that like had positions and he flipped it over and it folded another direction. Like it was crazy.
Prepared, came prepared. That's the secret whiteboard.
That's what you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a look at his team. He definitely obviously spent a lot on Trout to put him in a tough spot. And Posey, too. I know you guys are doing the drafts. I was just taking a look at some of the results, you know, on the spreadsheet.
I will never do that. Would you ever
do
that?
Spending a lot on catchers. No, absolutely not. Like, I would never.
No.
To me, we'll get into maybe Zunino in a little bit who's having a hot spring, but I don't want to spend double-digit dollars on a catcher.
I did because I believe, like, if you get one of the top five but not overspend, I'll do it. I spent $14 on JT Realmuto, but then I spent just a dollar on Brian McCann.
So it evens itself out. You get a nice value in a second. I'm behind that. I mean, Realmuto, too, is a guy who can, you know, touch all categories. Not a lot of catchers can.
Oh, I thought you were continuing there, Chris. Sorry.
That's it. No, that's strong statement.
So Al, I want to get you real quick talk about the catchers. So Al Melchior got the duo that I've gotten in a lot of leagues is the Alex Avila, Christian Vasquez dollar catchers. What are your thoughts on those, Chris? Because I think I actually included Christian Vasquez in a lot of sleepers and ADPs. Like, I've been talking about him a lot this spring. I think he's one of the most undervalued players in fantasy, let alone just as catchers, because people don't realize he was catcher 17 last year playing just 90 games.
Yeah, and the thing I noticed with him, too, he's so strong defensively. Like, he's a really strong catcher defensively, frames as well, and that has slowed kind of Blake Swihart down a little bit from getting into the bigs, and people wonder if, you know, how his path is, because the Red Sox love Vasquez so much. So, I mean, I love the idea of spending $2, like I just said, a couple dollars on a couple catchers, and Vasquez, as you said, underrated. This is a two-catcher league. You need them. You need a second one, so I think that's fine for two catchers. And Avila, he's got some power. He's got some pop to his bat. And
he's going to be playing every day.
He's going to be playing every day where he wasn't playing every day before in Detroit. So you put him in Arizona. I know the humidor and, you know, the home runs are going to come down a little bit, but it still doesn't matter. It's a nice lineup. He's got some pop in his bat, and I love the price. I get behind those guys.
What about you, Scott? If you hadn't got James McCann, Avila, Vasquez, those other guys.
It was actually a McCann or Avila for me, and I slightly leaned towards McCann for a little bit more power upside, but they were all so close for me. I was splitting hairs there when I was trying to get my second catcher.
Yeah, I just think, all right, let's, before we get back into your team some more and other things that happened in the draft, you brought him up. I had him on the show sheet to talk about, Chris, and that was Zunino, who's just been going bananas this spring. He had another two home runs yesterday. It's not a surprise. Zunino's always had the power. Zunino's also always hit like 210. 220 and struck out and just hasn't been the catcher we wanted to. But, oh, there's actually three home runs there, so I missed a third. Good grief. So Zunino this year, Scott, do you think that this is potentially his real coming out party? Because last year he kind of came out a little bit. Like, I mean, people had him inside. He was inside the top 10 at the end of the season. People started to jump on him after he started to produce in season. But is this the year that he potentially becomes that top five power hitting catcher and he's somebody to target?
I think he's like more in that top 10 cusp. I know he's had a hot spring, and the power has always been there. But the BABIP last year was 355, and it only boosted his average to just over 250. So while a lot of pure power is still there, you know, what are you going to get batting average-wise? I think it could be 230 with 30 homers, and I think you'll take that any time.
Yeah, I think he would too. I mean, he walks a little bit, which is nice. You get a bit of a boost on base percentage, but the strikeout percentage for him is, I mean, he chases
ungodly.
Just about everything. Yeah, almost 37% last year, and in the year before that, it was up at 34. So,
which he hit
207
that
struck
year.
Out a lot. Yeah, and you look at 2015 in a small sample size, basically half a season, 34% strikeout rate, and he hit 174 that year, and his on base percentage was 230, but. Again, after the first couple catchers, what are you looking for here? You're looking for some upside. Someone's not going to kill you in average, but a lot of them basically are the same. This guy has some pop and some upside to hit you 30 bombs in another year that the Mariners lineup is improved. So I have no problem with Zunino. I wouldn't be shocked if he flirted with a top five, but I think a top 10 is definitely safe.
Yeah, I like him in points leagues, but to what your point was and what Scott just said, he's definitely not in the top five for me. And if I'm drafting him, it's not going to be – how much did he go for in this draft? I know he – did he hit double digits, Scott? I'm trying to find him real quick. Yeah, he went to 11.
$11.
I'm not spending 11 on him because of what you just said. I don't think he's hitting 250 again. I think he's hitting 220. And then he does, to your point, Chris, he wouldn't kill you in average if he was hitting 240, 250. But if he's hitting 220, he is going to for 450 at-bats.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed, I watch a lot of Mariner games. I'm an Angels guy. I see a lot of the West Coast games out here. And for Zunino, I mean, he gets into those slumps, like I said, where he just, like, strikes out a ton. And that average will kill you. But in a points league, it's a good call.
He's like the Golden Sombrero King. But let's hit a break here. We're going to continue to dive into the Tout Wars draft to see what we can learn from that for you guys and talk about more spring performances and undervalued pitchers potentially. It's Jake, Scott, it's Chris, it's Roto Experts.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
That awkward grunting in the back of Scott. This is definitely some 8-bit music you can get to, Scott, isn't it?
Oh yeah, little Kiss, 8-bit Kiss. Looking forward to a big weekend too, man. I'm gonna go to the Gene Simmons Vault event here in New York City.
Oh, baby. What's the Gene Simmons Vault event?
Gene Simmons has released a vault of unreleased songs. It's an actual vault. And over 1,600, over 1,600 songs, and for $2,000, you get to meet him, and he does a Q&A and an acoustic set and all of that, and they're doing it in New York City this weekend.
Oh,
that'll be all right. That's pretty cool.
GeneSimmonsVault.com for you diehard Kiss fans like me.
The three of you out there.
Yeah, I don't think so. More gold records than any other.
I'm just busting
American
you, Scott.
Band.
You know that.
Yeah.
Look what you started.
You know, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Another music.
Look, not everybody's a Star Wars fanatic like you. We like other things.
You get one of these days. You got to let that go.
No, I'm not going to until you admit it.
No, because you just drive.
We could talk how much about how much you love
true.
Daredevil.
No, it's not even that either. So, what I do love, hey, how about that? You like that segue there, Scott, is winning in fantasy baseball. If everybody listening wants to, head over to rotoexperts.com, make your season a winning season, talk strategy in our premium Roto Expert Slack channel, and get that one-on-one feeling with our award-winning experts. Dominate your draft with the most accurate fantasy baseball rankings led by Scott, this guy, the King Angle, and myself. Also, Tim McCullough, high in the rankings last year, award-winning Tim McCullough. You get a draft package, cheat sheet generator, player projections, and much more. And that's not all. You get 20% off at DailyRoto.com and their DFS products, powered by millionaire maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer. If you go to RotoExperts.com/MLB18 today, you'll save 10% off with the promo code FNTSY or The King or All In Kids. So take your choices, whoever you like best. If you can't decide, just use the MLB 18 one. Does that sound good, Scott? Is that fair?
That's fair. Very fair.
Right,
that's
I
fair.
Love
that's
the idea fair. Of a chat. Eh? That's good for people.
Yeah, the all-day Slack chat.
All day Slack channel, yeah.
All day Slack channel, yeah. I like it.
So 3 a.m.
Good addition.
You're not going to get an answer, but you can leave a question. Although, well,
never know.
Do we have...
I'm usually awake.
I was going to say, you never know.
Oh, no. I was going to say, do we have anybody on the West Coast, Scott? Do we? That's what was going to be my question. Out of curiosity.
I don't think we do, but I'm usually awake around that time. It's like around the time I wake up to like study for the shows.
Yeah. You wake up way too damn early. That's for sure.
No, you just wake up too late.
Yeah. Okay. 6:30. I'm sure for most of America, it's probably like, that's too early. So nobody's getting up with you except for the owls.
What time are you passing out when you go? When you wake up?
That's why I'm in the position I am today.
What time are you falling asleep when you wake up at 3?
I usually go to bed around maybe 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So you'll just be able to catch the first set of baseball games,
too.
And then you got to get the nap, and the nap's key. Yeah,
it is. Nothing like the old day nap.
So, Scott, one of the players that you purchased is somebody else that I have on a lot of my teams so far. You took David Price for $16, and we've talked about him before, and we actually talked about him in FST yesterday, but I want to get your thoughts behind David Price, because I've been saying, even in the limited injury-filled season he was last year, he was still David Price. It was still a low 3 ERA. The strikeouts were still there. I understand the concern of this guy has 200-plus innings from multiple seasons, and we're not just talking like 205. We're talking 230, 240 with playoffs and stuff like that. So I understand the hesitation where people are thinking, oh, my God, he might be Felix Hernandez, and he already hit the wall, and it's done, and it's over. But again, I go back to the fact that even with the missed time, he was still David Price when he pitched. Is that your same thought in going to get him for 16?
It's a good segue because I'm publishing my my Fantasy Baseball Insider report on rotoexperts.com this morning in the exclusive Edge package about the Red Sox. And I spoke to the same guy who told me last year that Chris Sale was going to have his most monstrous season ever. And he told me that David Price may be in for a monster season this year for the Red Sox because he feels like he's very pissed off. He hasn't lived up to his contract the first 2 years. The first year he wasn't comfortable mentally in Boston. Last year he was, and then he got injured. He came back last year down the stretch throwing with increased velocity. He said David Price wants to prove that he's going to live up to his contract. You are going to see the real David Price this year.
Oh, baby, you got me fired up there a little bit. David Price, for where he's going in the upside, we all know that he has the potential to be a top 10 pitcher. At least I feel that way. The K per 9.9, he limits the walks, and he's just dominant. That time off, maybe it helped him a little bit. Maybe it helped the arm. And the biggest thing for me right now in spring is that he's thrown about 10 innings, and he's looked good in those 10 innings, and there's no talk about his arm at all. So this is positive. Yeah, I heard all those reports too, Scott, about, you know, David Price, and they bring in Chris Sale. You bring in another ace, less pressure on yourself. It's a great 1-2 punch. So for his upside, last year was a bit of a risk, of course, when hearing everything. I kind of faded him towards, in drafts. But this year, I have no problem for where he's going, especially when you get into, you know, pitchers and he's flying off the board like pitcher 30. Like, give me the guy who finishes a top 10 pitcher. That's David Price.
Yeah, I got him for only $16 in Tout Wars. I was very excited with that.
That's even better.
It's a good deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And they feel like it's going to be a big year for him this season. So far this spring, you mentioned like how he's performed so far this spring. This spring, he is actually in 9 innings, he's only allowed 2 hits, 2 runs, 4 hits, and he struck out 9.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. He's still David Price. It's just everybody's so panicky over what happened last year. Is that, like I said,
reactionary,
Scott, though,
yeah.
Is that at least in the back of your mind at all? Because if you do look at David Price's career, he does have a ton of innings on that arm.
He does, but he's only 32 years old, and he's not a running back. So I don't think I'm too worried about it.
I'm not completely worried either because of just last year and the time off and some of the rest, and he was able to pitch towards the end of the season a little bit, and just what I've seen so far in spring. Everyone's in the same situation. You know, 30 of the top 35 pitchers taken off the board last year, ADP, all spent time in the DL. Like, everybody is a risk, to be honest with people out there. You're every pitcher is basically a risk. You look at some of the guys up near the top who have, I mean, Clayton Kershaw has had two lengthy DL stints because of back injuries. Nobody cares about spending $42 on that guy. I know he's the best pitcher in baseball in the world, maybe the greatest we've ever seen, some of us, but there's a risk with some of these pitchers. And if you're going to get David Price, you know, where you got him, Scott, in an auction of just, you know, under, what did you, $16 you said?
16.
I mean, that's awesome. To me, I think that's a great bargain and certainly worth the upside. There's going to be risk, of course, but it's worth it at that point.
I mean, that's...
He's essentially my third starter behind Robbie Ray and Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, he's $7 less than you, Darvish. He's $1 more than James Paxton, and six behind Jose Quintana. So I think it's good value, especially because if he gets to 180 innings, he doesn't even need 200. If he gets to 180, David Price is going to be a top 15 pitcher.
Yeah,
maybe a top 10.
Yeah, 180 is perfect. If he can get there, you know, any owner should be loving 180 innings from Price this year.
So, Scott, something else I noticed, and this was both in your draft and mine, and there was a name that was tossed out there where the room kind of got quiet and uneasy. It was Jonas Cespedes. We've already talked about him, but now that we've had these drafts, I kind of want to get your thoughts. So Cespedes went to Derek Van Riper for 13, which is, if he's Cespedes even 140 games, that's a value. In the mixed head-to-head points that I'm in, he only went for 7, and that's a 12-team league, mind you. And so everybody just kind of sat at the tables, and you could see it. It's the concern in the faces. Everybody's just kind of like, and the 7's even more scared telling than the 13 is, because 13's in 15, the 7's in 12, so you should understand the 7 should actually be more than the league that's the 15. But anyway, that being said, are people too worried about Cespedes, or is this reasonable concern?
It's reasonable concern. I remember reading an article from about a week ago from Kevin Kernan in the New York Post where he said one scout told him that said, as good as this guy is when he's healthy, there has to be concern about the injuries piling up with him. And when you look at a wrist injury, that's not good for a power hitter. So he went for $13 in our mixed auction, and certainly if injuries weren't a concern, you know what he's capable of. Basically, he carried the Mets to an NL East pennant in 2015 on his back offensively. But this guy, they can't stay healthy. You know, the Mets tolerate all kinds of things with him, but because of how well he plays when he's in there. But you can't rely on him being in there. Yeah, the Mets are—it's so unique when it comes to injuries. They're almost like a football team.
Yeah, they've had a rough go, and they really have. I mean, their rotation over the past couple of years—you just mentioned the trip to the World Series. I mean, that rotation. Too bad it can't, you know, stay intact, because I think it'd be, you know, arguably the best in baseball. But for Cespedes, he's not on my radar. I have some issues. I'm a little scared of him, much like, you know, some of these guys in the auction. But $7. I mean, I don't hate that. I wouldn't be spending any more than 10, because I do have some concerns, and it's a big enough sample size now over the past couple seasons. And Scott, you just mentioned a wrist injury for a hitter right off the get-go to start your year. You're already behind the eight ball, and if he's going to continue to fall down draft boards, you take a flyer on him. But I don't expect a full season. Maybe it's not fair to say, but I just don't expect it from him. When he plays, it's great. I'll play him at DFS all year when he's in the lineup, but I don't want to draft him.
Now, another player, this one doesn't have injury concerns, and this is not the first time I've seen him go undervalued, and actually we talked about him during the break. And for $9 in the mixed head-to-head, or the mixed 15-team auction, the mixed head-to-head for 5 to me, Chris, why does nobody want this terrific third baseman who crushed last year with 30-plus home runs, who has shown no signs of that being any different this year? Why does nobody want Travis Shaw?
I don't know. Actually, you know, I was doing an auction with Joe Pizzapia 3 weeks ago, and I got Travis Shaw for right around the same, and there was 15 teams in it. And I was thinking to myself, like, why doesn't anyone want this guy? And, you know, I had an extra middle corner infield spot or corner infield spot. 30 bombs last year. Okay, fine. Maybe he doesn't hit 30. I think he can hit 25. I still think he can, you know, repeat some of his numbers. In a couple seasons ago, he hit 270. It's not like the 270 came out of nowhere. He had a good average in the minor leagues. And this lineup with Milwaukee is improved, especially off the top. You know, they bring in Yelich. They bring in Kane. Those are two good guys to lead off the top of the lineup. Then you're going to have a Shaw behind him or Ryan Braun, whatever you want to do. This is going to be a lineup that scores some runs. It's a good ballpark, too. So I don't understand. Shaw is a nice power hitter. If you're missing out on some power guys, in the early parts of your draft. I mean, Shaw is a great guy. I find some terrific value. I love that you got him for $5. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the thing with Shaw, I think why a lot of people don't want him is they feel like the 31 home runs was such an outlier and an anomaly, especially when his HR to fly ball rate doubled last year. I think they're thinking maybe you're paying too much for 18 to 20 home runs and not don't expect 30 again.
Well, even if that's all he gets. Yeah. Even, that's, even if he drops down to 20 at $5, that's still a ridiculous price for anybody who's going to hit 20. Well, let me ask you this. So a similar player in draft range that people are going for, would you guys rather have Travis Shaw or Eugenio Suarez? Oh, sorry, Chris, you know I have to do this. Eugenio Suarez! So, yeah. Would you rather have Suarez or Travis Shaw?
I would rather have Shaw. I would rather have Shaw.
Better average, better power, better RBIs. Scott?
Yes. Yeah, I would rather have him, too. I think... Eugenio is definitely a good value for where he goes.
Yeah,
I agree. Him as well, but between the two, I would lean Shaw.
So they went for the same price in the mix head-to-head, and then I'm trying to find Eugenio in your draft, Scott. Do you remember who took him? $8. No. And Travis Shaw went for... Let's try and find Travis Shaw now. It's like, where's Waldo? I'm trying to find these players. Where is Travis Shaw? Oh, he's in the... Oh, he went for $9. So $8 for Suarez, $9 for Shaw in the mix. I don't even think it should be that close. Although,
yeah, I like Shaw a lot for $9.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody else.
Think, you know, 30 home runs he might not be able to get to. You're right, Scott. But I think mid-20s is a lot.
Maybe some people are feeling 16, you know?
Yeah.
I'd take the way over on that. A big-time bet. I put a lot of money on that. Can I get that bet in Vegas? Because I'll put money on it right now.
There was also a stat out there that he hit 328 against the shift.
Well, that's a good thing.
And they just don't think it's going to happen again. So one fantasy baseball analyst saying that.
No, I mean, the fact is that they might not shift him as much because there's no stopping him. All right, so how about for the same price?
He got 4 home runs in spring, by the way.
Yeah. One more before we hit the break, Scott. Similar player to Eugenio with a little bit more power, because I'm talking about the average and the production. The average production is basically about the same. The power is a little bit bigger. You spent $9 on Jay Bruce coming back to the Mets. You think he can replicate? I mean, last year it was a career high in home runs despite the fact he was playing with the Mets.
Yeah, you know, he got a bulk of that with the Mets. And, you know, at that point, I needed some power to build on. And I figured, like, he's probably not going to hit any less than 32. It's just that natural power. He's comfortable in New York. He came back to New York. Not ideal for OBP, but I think the power run production is what it is. It's going to be 32-plus, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big enough sample size with Bruce, as we're talking about Shaw here, right? Like the breakout season last year, you know, he showed signs a couple of years in the Boston. There's a big enough sample size with Bruce. You know what you're getting with him.
Yeah. All right, so would you spend more on Bruce or more on Shaw, given one's a third base infield and the other one's outfielder?
It really depends on my needs, but I want more power. I want 32-plus guaranteed, so I'll go Bruce.
Same for you, Chris?
Yeah, slightly, but I just, for me, I mean, I look at Shaw in the $5, you know what I mean? I'd like to sit in the $4. I think they're very similar.
All right, we're hitting break. We're going to come back. More fantasy baseball to get you ready for the season. It's Jake, Scott, and Chris.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
I in. I know, Chris. I am listening to this greatness that you put on. Thank you, sir.
DC boys.
Sabotage is terrific. Sabotage makes everything better.
Yes, I agree.
Pretty good.
I don't know if you guys...
I like Fight for Your Right to Party.
No, it's quality. Sabotage is arguably... I said arguably, because it's opinion, as you always say, Scott. Arguably their best
subjective
song.
Yeah, well, yeah. You think it's their best song. I like it.
Chris?
They have a couple beauties.
You have a favorite?
It might be Sabotage, actually. there's a few good ones.
I like She's On It.
Well, you know, I like ask you to like list their top 10 songs, Scott.
What's that?
I asked you to like list their top 10 songs.
You want to list their top 10 songs?
No, I said I didn't ask you to list their top 10 songs. I was giving you a hard time.
I mentioned two, so, you know, you get up with your math there.
Yeah. I thought you were going down the list. You haven't finished yet.
No, I got two. We're
talking about our favorites. I don't care how many you like. What's your favorite? What is your favorite?
I just said it, if you were listening.
No, you said I like this too.
Fight for Your Right to Party.
Okay. No intergalactic planetary for either one of you guys?
I don't even know that song.
I like that one a lot. I like that one.
Even if I hear it, I don't think I know it.
Make Some Noise. You know, Brass Monkey's pretty good. I can go through the list.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Brass Monkey, yeah.
Here's the perfect proof of it makes everything better. I don't know how this hasn't been taken down from YouTube, so you guys might want to go watch it before it does, because I don't know how Disney and like Lucasfilm hasn't come after them for this, but somebody recut the Solo preview. So like it's the trailer, but they mixed it around so it's not in the same order of scenes, and they put the song Sabotage behind it. So now it's the full trailer with Sabotage, but it's recut to the song, and it works out like perfect. Like it makes the movie better. Just like go watch it after the show. I'm telling
going
you guys
to, actually,
right now.
Yeah.
Let me
right
ask you this, Jake.
Right. Yeah.
Real quick, give me your top three favorite hip hop acts of all time. Where did the Beasties?
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys wouldn't even be in the top three.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would be your top three?
I consider hip-hop with rap.
What are your favorite three rap acts of all time?
Well, Notorious.
Yeah.
Nas.
Right.
And probably Jay-Z for me. Old
and
Jay-Z.
Beastie's still not making, huh?
No.
What about you, Chris?
Oh, Wu-Tang, of course. Yeah, if I included all of Wu-Tang, that'd be...
Yeah, it wouldn't make it for me either. I'm Biggie's number one for me. I like Nas as well. I would put Eminem in there. I'm a big Eminem guy. It's tough.
I'm old school.
As well.
I would go Run DMC, Houdini, early LL Cool J.
You know what? I almost said LL too. I am a big Cool J guy. I was listening to him yesterday. So it's tough. My top three is tough. You got to make it five.
Yeah. The more thinking about it, I would put Wu-Tang over Jay-Z for the listenability of repeats, like being able to listen over and over and over again. I get tired of Jay-Z.
I liked Run DMC before Walk This Way and King of Rock.
Oh, yeah,
well, of course,
DMC's
that was like
awesome.
your love fest is to have that happen, wasn't it?
What?
To have them do a rock combination song?
I thought it was
you're
pretty
huge
cool
rock
when it
guy.
Came out. Aerosmith, well, I think you're pigeonholing me there, you know, but...
I didn't say that's the only thing you listen to. I just said you're a huge rock guy.
No, I'm a huge Kiss guy. Otherwise, my musical tastes are all over the map.
Okay.
So I could be listening to Mariah Carey 1 minute, you know, Kiss.
What are you listening
next.
To right now most of the time?
Christmas tune.
What am I listening to? Well, it's always Kiss, but like outside of that... God, I'm all over the place. I even listened to a little Ed Sheeran yesterday.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
Hey, it's, you know, lots of varieties out there, Scott. You got to dabble in a little bit of everything.
No, I'm concerned.
Yeah, a little ZZ Top, you know.
That's fine. Ed Sheeran is, that's not fine.
I love the Temptations.
Well, that's fine.
Ooh. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
I'm all over the place.
Ed Sheeran's another thing. All right, so before we get back into fantasy baseball, if you're also looking to get involved in DFS, go to fantasyfactor.com. Perfect fantasy daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entered contest only. They always have fun contests going on, too. This year, Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. So make sure you go sign up and enter. It's fantasyfactor.com to go check that out. All right, back into this. What we started yesterday is the mid to late round pitchers. Let's get back into these. And Chris, Sean Manaea of the Oakland Athletics. You know, there's always pitchers to be found out in Oakland. Is Manaea the one this year? Is this the season where he finally comes through? Because I feel like we've been talking about Manaea for 3 years now.
Yeah, we really have been. You know, we saw him come. We seen him come onto the scene in 2016. Showed some real nice upside, some nice K upside. And much like a lot of these young pitchers we talked about yesterday, you're right. Is control. That's the biggest thing. Control and some health. And with Manaea and some shoulder issues that he had last year, but he's got, you know, a hell of a change, and you know he can get a lot of swing and misses from that. And I think he's, for where he's going in drafts, the upside is worth it. It's just command, again, with some of these pitchers, command and just health. But, you know, towards the end of your draft, it's fine. And obviously, you know, you just mentioned Oakland. It's a terrific ballpark, and he's going to have a lot of ballparks inside that division that he's going to like going to.
Yeah, you saw the stuff in spring training 2 years ago, but it didn't translate. But he finished really strong, and you hope that moves into 2018, but he might be a year away just from, you know, being a totally dominant sort of kid. You know, spoke to him last year, really insightful, smart kid. I think who knows what his limitations and expectations are, though. I think, you know, might not start seeing a groove until the second half this year.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about another one. And
went for $3 in the mixed auction.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
Somebody, and I understand the concern because of this spring training injury, but everything seems fine now as of today. But last year, this pitcher had a 3.32 ERA. Year before that, 3.32. Year before that, 3.66. Strikeouts around 9 per 9, about 1 per inning for the most part. Been a quality pitcher the past 2+ seasons. Even, like I said, go back to 2015 with his 3.66, but he got banged up that year pitching for the Athletics. He now pitches for the Red Sox, everybody, if you don't know who I'm talking about. It's Drew Pomeranz. I'm going to go back to similar with the Travis Shaw question, Chris, is how come nobody wants Drew Pomeranz?
I think they're just scared, and I don't know why. People, if they're questioning the talent and the skill, that's a mistake, because you just rattled off some numbers. It's a big enough sample size. This guy was on a lot of my teams last year, took him towards the end of the draft, and I've done it again. And I know that the arm issue has popped up, but everything I've read about Pomeranz is this is normal for him. Yeah, there's been some injuries, some fluke ones too. I think he broke a hand once with his days with Oakland. But again, for where these guys are going, the upside is there. The K per nine is solid. If you can get about 150 to 170 innings from him, he keeps the ball on the ground for the most part. So I'm fine with Pomeranz. And the strikeout rate, I mean, 23%, that's top 25 in baseball among qualified arms. So, I mean, the strikeouts are there. The potential is nice. He's got a good defensive team behind him. I like Pomeranz. It's just there is some risk. But with this recent risk, Scott, he's fallen down draft boards.
Yeah, he is. And I got to tell you that, you know, it's really like, you know, all about health with him. And, you know, but he's going into a walk year, which also works in his favor.
What are you talking about?
Contract year for him.
That's a myth.
Not always.
Not always, but it's a myth that it does this, is going to do anything.
So, I wouldn't necessarily just agree with that. Do you think you can find examples on both sides? I think
right.
A fine example on both sides. I don't think it's a sweeping generalization, but I would use it more as a, you know, something that, you know, could be more of a carrot for him.
No, but that's what I'm saying. There are examples on both sides. I've run the numbers for baseball and football. It does no difference. You have just as many people that perform worse as that perform better. Actually, there is more that perform worse. There is some on both sides that perform about equal, and then the ones perform better. So you actually perform worse.
It's an interesting
study. I got inside word out of Red Sox camp that he is definitely considering that and using it as motivation.
You can use it all you want. It doesn't mean you're going to pitch any different.
It certainly helps you focus and motivates you.
I don't think it does any more than it does before, because this is what I've always said, Scott. Then you're basically telling me that he wasn't performing 100% up until this point.
I think he's come to a critical juncture where he might be worried about his future.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, Yeah, he's worried about. Hey, I think it's fair. I think it's fair to say that he's worried about his future, and this is maybe his mindset. Of course, is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether that translates or not, like he's 100% going to be, wanting to have another productive season. Whether that translates or not, maybe he's in his head too much. But I've definitely seen it in other sports. I kind of believe in that more in hockey and basketball, and more kind of individual sports. But it's an interesting study, the contract years.
No, I understand what you're saying, but my point is the people who say because they're in a contract year, they're going to perform better.
I don't think you could lock it that he's going to perform better. I'm saying,
right.
it's something that's going to motivate him to perform better.
Right, and that's fair. What I'm saying is, and this isn't necessarily coming right after you, Scott. I'm just saying the people in general, like when you say that, just you as in anybody, somebody says contract year.
Right.
The assumption is the performance is going to go up because it is a contract year. That's why we have.
It depends on who you're talking about, though. If you're talking about Eric Ebron in a contract year, it don't matter.
I know. Hold on. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My point being is, like, we see it every single year. There's articles out there. You can go search them right now. Fantasy baseball contract year players. You can, when football rolls around, fantasy football contract year players. The entire points of those articles is, here's the list of people in their contract year, and here's the list of people that should perform better because of that. What I'm saying is you can't do that because it doesn't mean – just because you're a contract year does not mean you perform better, because there's just as many people that perform worse, just as many people that perform the same that they've always been, and just as many people that do perform better. So what I'm saying is, like, I understand your point. What I'm just trying to make clear to everybody listening, Scott, again, like that, try to say, is don't go with the understanding, or don't go out there believing that just because you see a contract year, you're going to get a better season than you've ever seen before.
And I agree with that, because you got to judge the players as individuals. If I was sitting here, talking about, let's see, I think of a baseball player, that I don't want on my team necessarily.
There should be plenty.
If I was talking about, Zach Wheeler in a contract year, I don't know if I'd have confidence in it.
Chris?
No. I would agree with that.
No confidence in Zach Wheeler? Real quick, since you brought about, what's going on with Zach Wheeler, Scott? Is he going to be destined for the bullpen as soon as Vargas is ready?
Well, he should be. I think they really like him in that role. That's the word that I'm getting.
And could he be? Right?
Yeah, could he be their version of like an Andrew Miller?
I don't think he's quite that dominant. I think they want to find that guy. Like, originally they're thinking maybe Familia can do that from time to time, but they're going to learn quickly that, they need Familia to end up close with the games. And they have A.J. Ramos, too, so I don't think maybe there's not going to be an Andrew Miller type in that Mets bullpen.
Yeah, the Ramos is a nice addition. Yeah.
I was about to ask that, Chris, and I'll come back to Scott, of course, because this is his team that he covers in person. It's the Mets. Loves that team. So, I love the team too, but Scott actually gets to go out there and talk to the team player.
No, you've run away from them.
No, I refuse to support the Wilpons is what I've done. I haven't run away from them. I'm not supporting the Wilpons. Two different things. But, Chris, you brought
well,
up
you live in Ramos. You live in Virginia anyway. It's not like you can support the team from there anyhow.
No, I can stop buying their merchandise online. I can stop finding a way to go at least to one game a season. I can tell you that much. When I visit New York, I'm not going. But anyway, Chris, you brought up AJ Ramos. Both Ramos and Familia have struggled this spring. Familia's not getting strikeouts. Ramos has been banged up. Not banged up, like hit up. He's been getting hit a lot and giving up a lot of runs. Are you concerned about this bullpen?
There's some concerns, but with these two guys, I've seen enough from them over the past couple of years where I kind of take the spring with a grain of salt. You want to see these guys perform well and be on the top of their game heading into the season, but with Familia, I like him a lot more than Ramos. Ramos, the walks have really caught up to him over the past couple seasons. They've increased now two straight years. He's given up some bombs, some home runs that he normally didn't really give up. But I'm fine with the bullpen. The biggest thing with the Mets is just health. That's all it is. Like, it really is. You look at the rotation, we've already kind of touched on a little bit. And you're talking about Wheeler and Mats, and can DeGrom stay healthy? Can Syndergaard? Cespedes. It's across the board with this team. It's all health. So, if they can stay healthy, I think we talked about this last week, Jake. I don't even know if you're on. It may have been Scott and I. We're going over-unders with the teams. That over-under, I think it's just, what is it, set in the 80s? It's like, that's an upside that I would take, because if this team was healthy, they can get to 85, 90 wins. It's just all about health. That's it. That's the only concerns I have.
What are your thoughts, Scott? The bullpen. Yeah, I'm not.
I think the bullpen's a lot improved, you know, especially even Wheeler in there, even though he doesn't want to pitch there. I think it's definitely very improved. You got Swarzak, if he's healthy too, I think makes a difference.
But are you worried about Familia as for a closer for fantasy baseball purposes?
Look at my fantasy baseball insider report on rotoexperts.com, an exclusive edge package. You know, excellent points made by a Mets insider saying that, you know, that Callaway is going to quickly learn that that's the best guy that he should have out there closing games. You don't want Jerry Blevins out there at the end.
No, of course you don't. And of course,
for Familia, I mean, he's going in like 20s, right, Jake? I mean, he's
– Yeah, I got him for $5 in Tout Wars. They said he is fired up, and, you know, he's rediscovering his split finger and his sinker, and that's what can make him dominant.
I think he's one of the better discounts. We're talking about not spending a lot on closers and taking
five
him pretty
bucks.
High. I think he's one that actually jumps out to me, you know, on draft day.
Yeah, it's definitely a value out there. But we'll continue to get values for you guys, late-round pitchers, a lot more for baseball as your draft approaches. Go check out DailyRoto.com as well. You can save 10% for them on top of 10% for us. It's FNTSY, just like the code for us. Get the exclusive edge package. Jake Seeley, Scott Engel, Chris Meaney, we'll be back tomorrow. As I said, we're going to get you ready for the baseball season. Have a good one.